This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أرسله وأقوه بالهدى ونير الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. فما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله تعالى وهو أصدق القائلين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. I bear witness that there is no worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is none to guide. أما بعد فاليوم إن شاء الله نكمل خطبتنا عن فن الاعتبار. تكلمنا عنه في المرة الماضية ونكمل اليوم. وقلنا إن كثيرا من الناس يخاف من الاعتبار لأنه بالنسبة له علامة على الضعف. وذكرنا أن بعض الأنبياء اعتذر لله سبحانه وتعالى عن يعني نفس أو خطأ ما حصل، هفوة حصلت، أو يعتذر لبعض الناس عن شيء بدر منه وكان الأولى خلافه. ونتكلم إن شاء الله عن أدب قبول الاعتذار وكيفية الاعتذار بالفعل وبالقول وغيرهما إن شاء الله. So last week we started to speak about the power of sorry or the art of apologizing. Because we make mistakes all the time, as the Prophet ﷺ says, that we as human beings, we make mistakes all the time. But the best among us are those who repent, and those who apologize and mend their ways. When it comes to sin, or falling into sin, or making a mistake, or doing something wrong, people are classified into four different groups. Those who make a mistake and deny, and those who make a mistake then lie, and those who make a mistake then justify, and those who make a mistake then apologize, just for the right. So the first group, those who make a mistake and they distance themselves from the mistake. They don't talk about it. They don't bring it to anybody's attention. And this happens all the time. You hear stories about hit and run accidents. Somebody's walking in the street and this person is run over by someone driving their car, or you are parking your car in front of your house and someone just, they hit your car and they run. And you don't know anything about what happened or who did it. You wake up in the morning, your car is dented, then nobody's claiming responsibility for what happened. So this is the first type. Those who make a mistake and they keep quiet. Okay, maybe an innocent person would be punished for it. Maybe it will go and nobody will notice. So there are different types of cases in this case. The second type, those who make a mistake and lie. And this happens a lot. Someone will do something. Then if it comes out, now everybody knows about it, then they will deny that they did it, or they will basically blame it on somebody else. So it's always someone else. And this happens a lot with kids. You wake up in the morning, all the candy in the fridge is gone. And you see your kids, and chocolate on their faces. Everybody, you know, has candy on their faces. I didn't do it, right? Not me. I'm innocent. So this happens all the time. The third type, which is also worse than the first two, those who justify, right? So, for example, they will do something wrong, and they will say, this is why I did it, and they are lying about the justification. So the justification is worse than the action itself. So for example, you read in the Quran in the story of Iblis. So he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And this is not muqatta, that he was not one of the malaika, illa Iblis kana min al-jinn. In Surah Al-Kahf, he was one of the jinn, he was not one of the malaika. He refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, thinking that he was better than him. Because he said, you created me from fire, and you created him from mud. And if someone didn't have to make sajda to Adam because he was better than him, it would have been the malaika, because they are created of light. And light is better than fire. But in any way, they complied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they made sajda. But Shaytan justified why he didn't make the sajda, why he didn't prostrate himself to Adam. So when he refused to make sajda, that was a mistake. And if he apologized, then the result would have been different. But he insisted that what he did was the right thing and he justified it. He said, how come that I made sajda to someone you created from mud and you created me from fire? I'm better than him, khalas. I don't need to apologize, there's nothing I did wrong, khalas. I'm not going to do anything about it. So this is why he was kicked out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth fight, which is also in the story of Adam and the shaytan, when shaytan refused to make sajda, those who make a mistake and they apologize. They come forward and they say, yes, I acknowledge I made something wrong, and I acknowledge that that was not the right thing, and here is my apology. The story of Adam, when he ate from the tree, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, don't go there, still he made the mistake and he ate from the tree. Then he apologized. فَتَلَقَّى أَدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So Adam alayhi salam received words of apology from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to apologize in this way. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. These were the words. They said, Ya Allah, we made a mistake and we wronged ourselves. And if you don't forgive us, will be among the losers and the doomed. So that was the apology. They apologized to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why do people refuse to apologize? As I said last time, because for them this is the yani a sign of weakness. Yani, you see, for example, the father will refuse to apologize to his children if he did something wrong. Or the husband will refuse to apologize to his wife, or vice versa. Or the teacher will refuse to apologize to a student if they did something wrong, because they think that these people will think I'm weak and nobody will ever have respect for me. And this happens a lot with leaders, especially back home. Disasters happen. Hundreds of people die or thousands of people die in accidents and stuff. You will never see a leader back home who will come forward and apologize for any mistake or anything that happened in the past. They will try to justify it, or they will blame it on somebody else. Maybe I'm gonna fire a minister or whatever, so people will be quiet, okay? Or they will say, inshallah, we'll make an investigation. And it will take them about 100 years, no results, nothing, nobody knows what happened. And this is something that we are good at back home, that we always forget the next morning. Because once something happened, we are mad, spontaneously, then the next day, khalas, we forget, we think about something else. Or they will come out and they will say, you know, nothing happened. 100 people died, 200 people died in the accident. These people were good people and we made sure that they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's actually a good thing. This is the style they use, the reasoning they use to justify what happened and to escape punishment or the consequences of the wrong that happened. So for some people, it's a sign of weakness if you apologize. And we said that this is not the case. It's a sign of courage, it's a sign of integrity, and it's a sign of humility. You see, there are a lot of leaders who come out and they apologize. And this makes their people, or their countries, they forget the mistake that was done, or the wrong that was done. A lot of people were angry with President Clinton back in the 1990s because of what happened, Monica Lewinsky and all that story, and he lied. And eventually when he came out and he said, yes, I admit I did it and I apologize, a lot of people forgave him because he had
had the courage to come out and apologize. Back in 2008, when Stephen Harper came out and apologized for the practices with the First Nation, the residential school program, so a lot of people, they forgave him. Tell us, we forgive you. At least you said something. You see, in the history of Islam, we'll give a few examples last time just to illustrate how the leaders should come out and apologize. And they should not justify or run from responsibility. You see, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, we refer to this passing in the last slide. So when he came back to the Pharaoh to invite him to Tawheed after he received the revelation, so the Pharaoh told him one thing.
Some of Muslims, they say that how can
when something like this happened, it is true that the ayah in Surah Al-Asa doesn't mention the name of the Prophet clearly, and they say, well, but this is not good, that the Prophet did something like this, and it should be someone else, not him. Well, this is a proof that the Qur'an is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet was criticized in the Qur'an because he did something, then he could have taken this chapter or this verse and he could have thrown it out of the Qur'an. But the fact that it is there, criticism, and it is there in the Qur'an, recited for thousands of years by millions of Muslims, that this is a sign that this Qur'an is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet is honest about conveying the message of the Qur'an. So he didn't edit what was revealed to him. So this is an example. Also, we are told in Islamic literature about the way you can apologize. There are so many different ways. And I say, for example, sometimes you have to say something. Come forward and say, well, I made a mistake. Maybe you can say it with words. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Like, for example, if you don't want to start an argument with your wife, for example, because you're always coming late, or maybe your wife is always burning the food, as we said last time, you don't have to talk about it, because one thing may lead to another. Then in this case, if you just give your spouse a flower, or a thank you letter, or a postcard that says sorry, something like this would be enough. Say, for example, you said something bad about a brother or a sister, behind their backs. And I think if you go up to them, no matter how you try to explain or apologize, this will leave a scar in their hearts. So the best thing is to go back to the same group that you backbit them in front of and tell them, well, what I did was wrong, I shouldn't have said this, and this brother or this sister is a good person. If you took someone unjustly from another person, then you have to give it back to them, either in person or just like you took it stealthily, you made like a plan or something, they put it, may use a plan to put it back. So it depends on the situation. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's Allah. Okay, so we have to be careful with this because we don't want
to.
As I said, it takes a lot of courage for someone to come forward and apologize for something they did. A lot of ulama scholars, if they make a fatwa or they say something, then they are reminded that they said something wrong or this is not the right fatwa in this case, they come forward and they apologize. I read this story of one of the ulama when he was giving a talk one day. And he said in the middle of his talk that the Prophet in the Rasulullah talaqa wa ala wa dhaha. So a little kid, like 7 years old, came to this scholar and he said that the Prophet, yes, he made talaq, he divorced his wife, and he made ilah. He said, I'm not gonna approach my wife for a certain number of days. But he didn't do dhiha. The Prophet didn't do it. لأن الله تعالى يقول Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadala that dhihar is munkar min al-qawl and zura. This is falsehood. And the Prophet is highly exalted about saying falsehood. So the Shaykh said, yes, you are right. The Prophet didn't do it. And next halaqah, the Shaykh came forward and he said, last time I said something, I was corrected by a young brother, and this is the right fatwa, this is the right answer. So he didn't have the arrogance to deny or to justify and so on and so forth. So as I said, it takes a lot of courage to come forward and say that I apologize for what I did. So this is why when someone comes to you with an apology, and it took them all the mental activity and all the courage and all the guts to come forward and say apologize, don't tell them I'm not gonna forgive you. Because they couldn't have come and they couldn't have offered any apology. So now they are here, forgive them. Look at the example of the Prophet ﷺ at Fath Mecca, when the people of Mecca came and they abused him and the Sahaba for so many years and they killed some of them, they persecuted them. And when they came and they said, and they apologized, the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, you are free, I forgive you. You look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers. They did what they did. They tried to kill him. They conspired against him. And because of them, he was sold in slavery, taken away from his land, taken away from his family for so many years. And he was thrown in jail because of them, or what they did initially. But when they came at the end and they said, يعني تالله لقد آثارك الله علينا وكنا لخاطئين. والله, we made a mistake, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated you above us, or He preferred you, or favored you above us. He said, خلاص, لا تثريب عليكم الله يغفر لك. خلاص, you are free. I have nothing against you in my heart, and Allah will forgive you. You read in the story of Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and Bilal radiallahu anhu, they had a friction, they had a disagreement one time. فقال أبو ذر رضي الله عنه لبلال يا ابن السوداء. اللي هي زي الان وورد بالانجليزي يا ابن السوداء. فذهب بلال رضي الله عنه من حديث الصحابه فذهب بلال رضي الله عنه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشكى له. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لابي ذر اعيرته بامك؟ فقال نعم. فقال انك امرؤ فيك جاهلي. مساله العصبيات وهذه الامور العنصريه وكذا هذا من الجاهليه. فوضع أبو ذر رضي الله عنه خده على الأرض وقال حلفت وأقسمت عليك أبي بلال رضي الله عنه أن تضع رجلك على وجهي على الأرض. فقال بلال رضي الله عنه يعني كيف أضع رجلي على وجه يسجد لرب العالمين وسامعه واعتنقه وكذا. So in this story أبو ذر رضي الله عنه had a friction or a disagreement with بلال رضي الله عنه. You know that Bilal radiallahu anhu was a slave before Islam and he is originally from Ethiopia. So when they had the disagreement, Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu called him the N-word. Your mother is this, right? So Bilal radiallahu anhu was angry. How come you call me something like this? So he went to the Prophet and he complained. So the Prophet followed up with him and he said, did you call him the N-word? So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I admit. So the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu, you are a person who still has some qualities of the days of ignorance. This racism is from the days of ignorance, from the days of jahiliyyah. So Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, I wish I died before I heard this from Rasulullah. I wish I never heard these words. Then he put his face on the ground and he told Bilal radiallahu anhu, please put your foot on my face. Put your foot, your shoe on my face as a way of apologizing. So Bilal radiallahu anhu refused and said, how can I put my shoe or my foot on the face of someone who prays to Allah and they put their face on the ground for Allah? I can never do this. So Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu apologized and he forgave him. The last story I'm going to mention is from Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. Hadith is a Sahih Muslim. So the Prophet saw him one day. كان مسعود البدري رضي الله عنه وهو مشاهد من مشاهد بدر كان يضرب غلاما له عبدا ويضربه كان معصب ومضايق وعمال يضرب فيه فسمع صوتا من خلفه يقول اعلم ابا مسعود مرتين ان الله تعالى اقدر لله اقدر عليك من قدرتك عليه فلما راه ابو مسعود راى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاعتذر الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واعتذر لعبده وقال أشيرك يا رسول الله أنه حر لوجه الله فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إنك لو لم تفعل لنفحتك النار أو لمستك النار. So in this hadith, as I am Muslim, Abu Mas'ud al-Badri was one of the great Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He had a slave. So the slave did something wrong and Abu Mas'ud al-Badri became so angry, furious, that he started to beat his slave. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by and he didn't see the Prophet because he was so angry, he was in the middle of a beating. So he heard someone say, Ya Abu Mas'ud, the Prophet called him. Know that, or keep in your mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more capable of punishing you than you are of him. So he got the whip, and he looked at the Prophet, and he started to cry, and he apologized to the Prophet and to his slave, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, bear witness, that he is free, fi sabilillah. So the Prophet said, if you didn't free him, you would have been touched or you have been roasted by the fire. So the Prophet actually encouraged him to apologize even to his slave. So in conclusion, All of us make mistakes by day and night. We make mistakes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not doing our best or falling short. We make mistakes to one another, whether we're talking about a husband to a wife, or a wife to a husband, or parents to children, or vice versa. And to our friends and colleagues and the people you deal with, Muslims and non-Muslims. So if you do something wrong, come forward and apologize, and this will clear the situation, and this will put mawadda and love and respect between the people. Otherwise, one thing will lead to another, and things will accumulate over time until they reach a point where you cannot solve the situation. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ma'alimna ma'alfa'ala wa ta'ala ma'alimna. اللهم إنا نسألك في هذا اليوم العظيم المبارك أن لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته ولا ظالما إلا خصمته ولا محروما من الأطفال إلا بأطفال رزقته ولا شاذا ولا شاذة من المسلمين إلا بالحلال زوجته واغفر لهم المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and accept our good deeds and give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity in everything we say and do. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His mercy and His rahmah on those who built this masjid and those who constantly maintain it. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sallam.